Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. Jai Bhakti Lalita. What should we talk about tonight?
They've got questions for you.
It's questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you speak a little louder?
Sure. Last time you mentioned Ramat Prabhu, and it seems I didn't know him in person, but maybe can you tell us more? He seems to be a very interesting personality.
Sure. Ramat Prabhu was the epitome of a pujari. His whole life was a pujari, being a pujari, and he was very humble and always in the background, behind the curtain. The curtains would be closed, and that was where he was most comfortable. At the lotus feet, Shishi Guru, Garanga, Gandharvi, Kikiridari, with the curtain closed and everything going on in the temple. But when we had the Vaishnava Seva program in Ramai's honor after his departure, everybody, there was like maybe 50 devotees there, everyone spoke, and everyone felt he was their best friend. So that shows the quality of a Vaishnava, that everyone's thinking, he's my best friend. And that was the way Ramai interacted with all of the devotees. And of course, his service to the deities and to the Vaishnavas was exemplary. So we know that there's 9 processes of devotional service. Any one of those processes, we can reach perfection if we perfectly follow those processes. So Ramai Prabhu, as far as I'm concerned, he reached perfection in his service to the deities. And through that, all realizations came. Just like any other service, Krishna reveals so many things about your devotional life through your service. And so many things came to him, and he, in a very friendly way, communicated that with the devotees. So maybe he wasn't like, his name wasn't on the letterhead or, the property deed or anything like that, but he was one of the pillars of our ashram, and from him, so many of the younger devotees caught that worshiping mood from him on how to worship the deity in a not so much a formal way, but in a heartfelt way. So he joined ISKCON very early on in Chicago. Nyasi Maharaj and I were in Vrindavan. He was telling me a story when Ramai joined. And Ramai didn't even have second initiation, but he already knew all the rules about worshiping the deity. And so he would stand outside the altar in the temple room, and he'd be given instructions to the pujaris that were on the altar who were supposed to be doing the deity worship, because he already, it was natural for him. And so just hearing it, then he understood and knew that. And the deities are, the central point of our ashram. Shri Giriraj Govardhan, This is his ashram. This is his land. We're serving him. And through him, we're serving the devotees. And deity worship is a very important part of our life in whatever capacity it is, whether it's coming before the deity to for artik, whether it's serving the deity on the altar, whether it's making garlands. It's a very important part of our spiritual life, service to the deity. And through that service, that sincere service, some realization will come to us. So Ramai, this last summer we had the Govinda Mela in Soquel, a Vaishnav festival. Many Vaishnavs came, and Devashish Prabhu and Ramai gave a class on deity worship. And a very wonderful class, and Ramai to give a class was very unusual because he was so much in the background, never wanted to come forward. But through Devashish's association, they gave this beautiful class. And Ramai was saying about his own realization that in the beginning of the deity worship, seva, that it was very intimidating, you know, to be worshiping Krishna. And then through the years, he started to feel, oh, Krishna's my friend. And more of a informal relationship that he felt with the deities. So who can understand Krishna's mercy that it will come to us in some way through our sincere service, whatever that service may be. Right. It was very, very fortunate that his, you know, suffering from that disease happened like less than 2 weeks. And his health was always, you know, not the greatest because he was always pushing himself to the limits and beyond the limits. But at that time, Janardan Maharaj had arranged for him and Pitambar and Ramai, the three of them, they were going to go to London. Can't remember, some celebration in London going on. And so they were all going to go to that. And then 2 days before the flight, he became ill. And he, you know, was just in too much pain. They took him to the hospital. And then... Janardan Maharaj ended up, he had to go and left Ramai there, and within a week or 10 days he had left his body. And very difficult for us to lose a friend like that. Very difficult. But we know that he's gone to some higher position in his devotional career. Some new assignment. Krishna has assigned him some other service somewhere. We don't know where, but we know it's in a better position because Krishna guarantees that whatever advancement we make in this life, in the next life we'll continue where we left off. So death is maybe devastating for those who are left behind, but for the sincere Vaishnav, it's a continuation of his service in another place. Wherever that place is, we don't know. We don't have that vision to be able to see those things. And so in that way, the departure of a Vaishnava is glorious. Because not some punishment or something like that, but something glorious, a promotion to more service. Anything else?
Is there a record of that class on deity worship?
So I have to say that my hearing is very poor. Of that class? Yeah, it's on Tyagi Maharaj's Facebook page, Bhakti Connect, I think it's on. Yeah, yeah, very beautiful recording.
Can you tell us what being in that role as manager and taking that responsibility for so long? Any secrets to success?
Well, that would be assuming I was successful. I don't know if I'm successful or not. The jury's still out on that one.
You've been doing it so long that means it's a success.
So, you know, this is our life, is to dedicate our whole life to our service. And whether we're qualified or not, if the guru gives us some service, then to dedicate ourselves and try, pray for the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, Gurudev, to have some intelligence and capacity to do that service. And we all have faults, we all make mistakes, and then to pray to the Vaishnavas for forgiveness and tolerance when we make those mistakes. But Govinda Maharaj gave us that formula for living together: humility, tolerance, and offering respect. And whatever capacity you're in, whether you're the manager or whether you're the pot washer or whatever you are, whatever position, service you're in, those things are necessary, because in our life of devotional activities with the other devotees, there's always some disturbance. There has to be some disturbance. That's natural. But for that disturbance to cause us to lose our enthusiasm or lose our faith, then that's not good. But that disturbance to inspire us to be better at our service, to be kinder to the devotees, to be more conscientious in what we're doing, then that's good. And to pray for that ability to do that, because all ability comes from Gurudev. We have no capacity ourselves. Karmis, they have some capacity according to their karma. Work hard, they'll make a lot of money, they'll be successful. That's karma. That's a karmi. But that's not a devotee. A devotee is understanding that everything is coming from the mercy of Gurudev. And so if some success comes to that person, then it's because Gurudev has allowed that success to happen, has worked through that devotee to do that. So really that's our secret, the secret to success that Govinda Maharaj gave us: humility, tolerance, and offering respect. Because what did we take birth in this material world? We're envious. We're criticizing one another. We're, you know, want everything for ourselves. Selfish. This is what we grew up in. This is our mentality that we were taught, and we're striving to be good at that. Good at being envious. Good at being selfish. Good at being taking advantage of others. And so then to come to Krishna consciousness and learn something else, some other mentality, and to see that that mentality exhibited in the life of a pure devotee, and then we're thinking, oh, wow, this is like unique, you know. I've never met somebody like that who wants to help me and has no ulterior motive, but just wants to help me in my Krishna consciousness. So all those bad habits are in us, and that mentality is in us. It's very difficult to rid ourselves of it. And Prabhupada gave the example of the fan. The fan's going around. It's plugged into the wall. It's going around fast, fast, fast. And then you unplug it. But it still has some momentum. And if you put your finger in it, thunk, you hurt your finger. So when we come to devotional service, we take initiation. So maybe that plug is unplugged from the electrical outlet. But still there's some momentum of our karma, of our bad habits. And it continues, and it can hurt us. So we have to be cautious of that. But really, when we're kind to one another, when we're forgiving of one another, when we're thinking the best of one another, then together we can do so much. And when we're feeling some division because, oh, this person said this about me, and you know they're insincere, or they're this, or they're that, then our strength is lost in that way. But you can see when devotees come together, and here is a perfect example, devotees coming together in harmony and with a single purpose, and so much beautiful service can manifest in that environment. And we become encouraged by that environment. But we have these bad habits we have to be cautious of, and we have to take the medicine that Gurudev is giving us to get rid of those bad habits. And the medicine is the holy name. The holy name, association, service under the guidance of a senior Vaishnava. And then gradually our heart will become cleansed of those that dust that's covering our heart, that doesn't allow our heart to shine through, but is covered and it's dirty, and so that the holy name, chanting our rounds, sankirtan, kirtan in the temple, all those things are meant to help us with those things. And eventually we're told that all those anartas, all those disturbances in our heart will go away. So there's some hope for us. Even though we may feel we're very far away from that, but there's some hope. Our acharyas, our spiritual guardians, are giving us that hope. Continue, and you'll be successful. So we're trying to do that. Govinda Maharaj, when he founded the ashram in 1993, he had a fire sacrifice. Fire sacrifice, and Sagar Maharaj was there, Dhrinard Maharaj, they were doing the fire sacrifice, so were the priests, probably Ramaya, I don't remember. And then Govinda Maharaj, he got everything started, and then he withdrew and was sitting out in the garden, just talking to a few devotees, and then I went out there, and Govinda Maharaj said, now you have this ashram. Dhrinard Maharaj can take care of the spiritual life of the devotees, and then you can take care of all the other things. So then I thought, well, these are the instructions of Gurudev, and by his mercy, try to continue with that service. And through the years, then he encouraged me in other ways, reiterating those same things, never changing his position, never saying, okay, now you're fired, you've done a horrible job, get out of here. Even though, you know, I made so many mistakes, he kept me there and tried to teach me some lessons on how to be diplomatic and how to speak nicely. But anyway, by his mercy, then we've been able to stay there through thick and thin. Because it's difficult. Living in an ashram is difficult. But the reward is that you're in the fire. It's like trying to learn a foreign language. You go to school, you take a class, 1 hour, 2 hours a week to learn a foreign language. It takes a very long time. But if you're immersed in a language class where all day long, that's all you do is are speaking and studying that foreign language, everyone around you is, so then you learn it quickly. It's hard, it's intense, but you learn it quickly. So in the environment of an ashram, living with all the devotees, everyone's personality, then you have to learn quickly. Otherwise, it's too much. But that is Gurudev's mercy, that we can do that. We can do something that we're not, that is beyond our capacity. What did she say?
What's your daily routine like?
My daily routine? Well, every day is different. I don't know what's going to happen that day. I make a plan, and I see what Krishna's plan is, because I have my list of things that have to be done. But then everything could change. In the middle of the night, something could break or something. So I don't really have a routine. I have projects that we work on, and then I try to work on that project and then sometimes pulled away onto something else. Janard Maharaj is our spiritual anchor at the Seva Ashram. His classes and his Siddhanta, and anyone that comes that maybe has some hazy view of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat or Krishna consciousness, he very clearly can explain to them what's going on and what is the real Siddhanta. And we're very, very fortunate like that, to have that, just like Goswami Maharaj, other senior Vaishnavas, to be under their protection, to be clear. I was with Govinda Maharaj once in Calcutta, and Janard Maharaj was there, and Govinda Maharaj was talking to Janard Maharaj, and he was asking him about certain aspects of the philosophy. And then Janard Maharaj would answer, and Govinda Maharaj would say kind of like, you know, well, what about this? What about this? What about... And it was like getting really intense, you know. And Janard Maharaj was like, you know, answer. And then, you know, it was like so intense, Janard Maharaj finally got up, he had to leave. It was like, take a break. And so then, Govinda Maharaj, and after Janard Maharaj left, he said, I was testing him. And I said, well, did he pass? He said, yes, he passed. When did I go to India for the first time? Is that your question? It was the opening of the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir, ISKCON, 1974, I think, 73, something like that, where our famous photograph of Guru Maharaj sitting on the Vyasasan with Srila Prabhupada and Govinda Maharaj sitting the microphone in front of them when that took place. And I was maybe 2 years in the movement at that time, very young, and I didn't know anything about anything, and certainly didn't know who Guru Maharaj was, and no idea who Govinda Maharaj was, but knew something special was going on, you know, but no realization. And it was only years later that we started to understand a little something about the glorious position of Srila Guru Maharaj. But that was the opening of the Mayapur temple, and Srila Prabhupada wanted as many devotees to come as possible. So even though I was only a very new devotee, it was like, you know, special dispensation. You know, they bought me a ticket to go, and I was able to go. That was the first time. Very austere. No mosquito nets, no beds, no windows. But it was wonderful, very wonderful. What's that?
Many Goswami Maharaj disciples here.
Uh-huh.
And they might like to hear how you joined the San Jose community when he was there. At what point you joined with the Mott and Goswami Maharaj?
So Goswami Maharaj saved my life. I have to say that. And publicly acknowledge his service to Guru Maharaj by publishing the books gave me back some spiritual enthusiasm and direction. Because after Srila Prabhupada departed, we were lost. We had no one to turn to. Srila Prabhupada, for us, was everything. We didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness other than what Prabhupada had given us. It was just, you know, whatever he said, that was what we knew about Krishna consciousness. And so when he left, then, you know, for myself and for many, it was devastating. We were lost. We were like wandering around in the darkness and not knowing where to go. And then Goswami Maharaj started publishing the books of Guru Maharaj and gave so many devotees enthusiasm and direction and somehow or other I got that association from him and those books. And my wife and I, we were both very happy to finally make that connection. And through Goswami Maharaj, the connection with Guru Maharaj's teachings. And then eventually Govinda Maharaj's association. He came the first time to America in 1992. We had his association in our home, and he gave many programs. We attended those programs and helped organize, and in that way got some connection, some service connection with Govinda Maharaj. And that was like a miracle for me because when, you know, a little bit unknown what Govinda Maharaj was going to be like, and then, you know, he gave a lecture and he glorified Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully during that lecture, and I thought, oh wow, he loves Prabhupada more than me. He knows Prabhupada, you know, so much more than the little bit that I know. And in that way, you know, I felt that same current that came through Srila Prabhupada was now coming through Srila Govinda Maharaj. And so in my heart there was no question of, you know, disrespecting Srila Prabhupada by going to Govinda Maharaj's lotus feet. It was, you know, a continuation of the mercy that Prabhupada had given us. And then we were very, very fortunate to have Govinda Maharaj's association for 18 years. And so many world tours, coming to Soquel so many times, and spending so much time there, and then traveling with him to Russia and Italy and different places. And then being in the association of a great Vaishnava like that, you learn something about Krishna consciousness because he's living it and everything he's doing, whether he's eating or whether he's just hanging out reading the newspaper. It, you know, there's some Krishna conscious position that comes through from him. And if you're a little bit aware, then you start to understand those things. So we're very, very fortunate to have his association for so many years. And then in, after his departure, we organized the building of the Pushpa Samadhi for Srila Govinda Maharaj in Soquel. Maybe you've seen pictures of it. of course, we're, you know, heartbroken by the departure of Srila Govinda Maharaj. And I started thinking, I was in Soquel at the time. Janard Maharaj was in India. And I was thinking, oh, we need to have some memorial for Govinda Maharaj. Something to, Govinda Maharaj had done the centenary building, the museum in the main floor of the centenary building, museum of Guru Maharaj and, you know, his paraphernalia and things like that. Anyway, I was thinking, we need something. And I was thinking, should we do this? Should we do that? And then I remembered, oh, Govinda Maharaj told me what to do. And it came back that one time I was in India with him, and maybe it was him and I and maybe one or two other devotees, and he said, after I die, I want to come back as a ghost and sit underneath that tree in Soquel where the children would play. And I thought, oh, Govinda Maharaj is being so affectionate. He's even thinking of Soquel after he leaves this world. Never thinking he was expressing to me what I should do after his departure. And then suddenly I remembered that conversation. I thought, oh, Govinda Maharaj told me what to do. And when he told me that, I said, well, which tree? I mean, there's a lot of trees in Soquel, and there are a lot of trees that the children put. And so, you know, I kind of narrowed it down to make sure I had the right tree. And so then I started thinking that. And then I called up Janard Maharaj, and I said, oh, maybe we can build a Pushpa Samadhi in this spot that Govinda Maharaj selected. And he said, yes. Avadhut Maharaj just gave me flowers from Govinda Maharaj's garland to take back to Soquel. And so I have the flowers for the Pushpa Samadhi. So it was like one of these things that, you know, was there manifesting through Janard Maharaj, through Avadhut Maharaj, and then through all the devotees in Soquel. And then everybody... we made like a little plan, and you know, I'm not an artist, and so my little plan was more like, you know, a stick drawing type thing, you know, just something very, very simple. But then we had one devotee, Bahulavan Prabhu, who built the house that Govinda Maharaj lived in when he was in Soquel. And he was an expert carpenter, master builder, and had been in ISKCON for many years, built temples, built so many things. He not only knew everything about building, he knew everything about building for the devotees, you know. And so I called him up. I said, oh, you know, we want to do this Pushpa Samadhi, but, you know, we're not really qualified. We can dig a ditch or we can do some, you know, rough work, but we need somebody like you. He said, absolutely. When do you want me? He was like so enthusiastic to come because he had loved Govinda Maharaj so much. And so I said, okay, let us do this and come in about 2 months and we'll be ready for you. And he came about 2 months later. He stayed for 4 months the whole time, just worked every day on that. And he was he was the supervisor. He knew how to do everything expertly, and he just told us, you know, do this, do that, do that. And, you know, we tried to do things nicely, but, you know, he was tolerant. And then he'd fix our mistakes. But because of him, it came out so beautiful. Krishna manifested some special ability through him to manifest that Pushpa Samadhi. And through all the devotees in the community, because we didn't hire anybody. It was all the devotees came together and did that work. And very, very beautiful.
And the lions
came from Krishnapriya and Paramatma, Paramananda Prabhu. I was thinking about lions. You know, I knew Gurudev liked lions, and so thinking, oh, we need some lions. And then I thought, you know, I looked, you know, and they were like some lions, but they weren't very majestic, you know. They were, yeah. So then I called up Paramananda. I said, oh, you know, we need some lions. He said, I know where to get them. So him and Krishnapriya went to the lion factory, the statue factory. And then they emailed me back some pictures, this one, like four different styles. And there was one style that was very beautiful. It was like almost a Chinese style, Thai style lion. And I said, oh, this is the one that we like. And he said, oh, that's the one I like also. And so then he arranged for those to be shipped to Soquel. Yeah. And now we have, on Gurudev's disappearance day and other times, we have programs there. And we'll have over 100 devotees there. And there's room for everybody. But also, if you go there all by yourself to have some prayer with Gurudev, then you don't feel like you're in the middle of a big auditorium. It's very, very informal and close, small. So it kind of expands and contracts as needed, just the way that it all came out. And when we started working on that hillside, myself and Giridhari, it was all covered with weeds and poison oak, and we never went there. I mean, the kids went there, but, you know, it wasn't like a place that we went to. It was kind of off the driveway, and you had to walk up a steep hill, and it was overgrown. And then we started clearing it off, and we realized, wow, this is like the most beautiful spot on the whole ashram, because from that spot, you had a panoramic view of the whole ashram, and could see all the devotees coming up in their cars and getting out and going into the temple, which Govinda Maharaj loved. He would love to look out the window and see who was coming and what they were bringing and who they were with. And he could tell so much by just seeing the devotees and the expressions on their faces. He could tell so much. And so So then we realized, oh, this was like the most beautiful place in the whole ashram. And it's very, very wonderful environment there. And gives nourishment to the devotees when they go there and have the feeling of Gurudev's presence. Govinda Mela was the brainchild of Tyagi Maharaj, and he, and of course Avadhut Maharaj for years had been saying to me, you have to have a Vaishnava festival, you have to have a Vaishnava festival. And I kept saying, I know, but who will do it? And then Tyagi Maharaj became inspired, and he started making plans a year before and speaking to me about it. And I said, yeah, sure, let's do it, you know. And he was, you know, wanted to put so much energy into it and organization and resources and money. And so then it became some... like a, you know, like when you light a little spark and all of a sudden there's a forest fire. So he lit this spark, and then there was like this forest fire of enthusiasm in the community to participate like that. And everybody got involved, and we have a, once a year we would have a children's program for 4 days, 4 or 5 days. The children would come and camp out at the ashram, and there'd be just programs for the children, usually organized by Radhika Devi. And so then we decided, oh, we'll combine the children's program with the Govinda Mela, because all the parents will be here, the children will be here, we'll do it both. And so then that was also very successful. We had wonderful programs organized by Radhi for the children. And all the devotees came, and it was just very wonderful. They all camped out. We had tents all over the property. There was over 100 devotees staying there every night, and prasadam, constant. The kitchen was constantly big pots of prasadam being prepared. All different types of prasadam, prasadam for the kids, prasadam for, you know, certain diets, prasadam, you know, and somehow or other, you know, everybody put all their energy into it. It was very, very positive. And so now that was the first year. Now we've had several meetings about next year's. It will be in July. And we hope to do that every year as an annual Vaishnava festival. And we felt very, very grateful to Tyagi Maharaj for establishing that, and he worked very hard at it, and so many devotees, Braja Mohini and so many other devotees put so much energy into it, Chinmoy Dave, and so many devotees. I know if I start naming devotees I'm going to forget somebody, and I don't want to do that, but so many devotees. We're very, very fortunate. When we first purchased the property in 1993, we had a picture of the deities in Navadvip and a Mahaprabhu Gaurangasundar deity. And that was who we worshipped. And then a few years later, Govinda Maharaj brought Shishi Guru Garanga Gandharvika Giridhari from Navadvip to Soquel. And then I think that was maybe in 95, 96, something like that. And then Govinda Maharaj was there, and he personally supervised the installation and the how to worship them, and gave Ramai instructions on how much rice to offer them, you know, because they first offered, you know, small amount of rice, and Govinda Maharaj was a little bit distressed when he saw that plate. No, Krishna needs a lot of rice. And then like twice that? No, no, no. And then we like took this colander, it's like a cone shaped utensil that they use in the kitchen. And that size, you know, so it was like a big cone, mountain of rice on Krishna's plate. So in that way, Govinda Maharaj gave us instruction, so many details of how to worship Krishna. And then he gave my wife instructions on sewing for the deities, when to offer new outfits. He wanted, decided six outfits every year, six new outfits every year. And so it's Guru Maharaj's appearance day. Of course, Govinda Maharaj's appearance day, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnim, Nrisingha Chaturthi, and Radhastami. Radhastami. And Radhastami, the anniversary of the when we got the deed to the property, yeah, right. And so every year there's a crew of devotees who assist Sharanangi in sewing, preparing, making those outfits, and every year they offer six new outfits, plus on other festival days, maybe some new jewelry, some new bedding, some, you know, other on other days. Yeah.
They were bringing back cloth and things from Vrindavan.
And silk from Thailand. Silk from Thailand, absolutely. The best quality silk is here in Thailand. And so Paramananda, Krishnapriya, they took me to the Jaduchak market, that weekend market in Bangkok, years ago. And they introduced me to the silk merchants there. And they kind of worked out the prices. And then every year I go back there and buy silk and trim in India, so many things.
Remember once you were leaving India and we needed a truck to take you to the airport.
<You're right>. Yeah, that happens quite often. What does she ask?
Are you talking about Gurudev's time or just now?
I think we do get from some temples from Mission.
Have you been on any Parikrama pilgrimage, traveling with Gurudev in India? Ramanthara, Anya, Navajani.
Right. So most of my trips to India would be around Guru Maharaj's appearance day in October or November. And because for me that was the only time of the year that I really could travel because of other responsibilities. And also Janard Maharaj and I always tried to schedule our trips at different times. And so then we would always go to Hapanya with Govinda Maharaj the day after Guru Maharaj's appearance day. And but basically, we went to India to be with Govinda Maharaj. And wherever he was, that's where we wanted to be. If it was Calcutta, we were in Calcutta. If it was Navadvip, we were in Navadvip. If it, wherever it was, that's where we wanted to be. And so quite often at that time of year, he would be in Calcutta and Navadvip. And so that's where we would go and stay there with him. And the parikramas would be going on, but Kartik, the devotees would go to Govardhan. But that was, I never really participated in those. Mostly I stayed in Calcutta with Govinda Maharaj. Because it was like the perfect place to be, under Govinda Maharaj's lotus feet. You couldn't, you didn't want to be anywhere else. That's where you wanted to be. But we also traveled with him on his world tours sometimes. We went to Petersburg for the opening of the Petersburg Temple and the installation of the deities there. Yudhamanyu Prabhu, myself, so many devotees were there. Tirtha Maharaj from India came. And, of course, Avadhut Maharaj, Vijay Raman, Satyasundar, they were all there. And Satyasundar had arranged for the those deities, to, the what are the name of the deities in Petersburg?
Radha Madhava Sundarji.
Radha Madhava Sundarji. He had arranged for the those deities in Jayapur. And they're marble. They're from... manifested from marble, and Govinda Maharaj was very, very concerned with marble deities being shipped to Russia, because ISKCON had marble deities shipped. Sometimes something would break, and so he was very always concerned with the welfare of the deities when they were being shipped someplace. And so, so you know, this was. What year was that? 1997 or 8 or 9 or something? And it wasn't packing materials in India weren't available at that time. And so Satyasundar told me that he was in Jayapur and he was thinking, how can I pack the deities so that they'll be protected? And so then he, they at the rickshaws, the motorized rickshaws. Now they have the electric ones. At that time, the motorized ones. And then they have the little tires, right? And so then that night, he had this dream of all these tires from the rickshaws. And then he woke up the next day and he thought, oh, I can get those inner tubes and pump them up full of air and put those in as packing material around the deities. And so then he did that. He had these crates made and they're all packed with these inner tubes. And so when the deities arrive in Petersburg and they open up the crates, there's all these like inner tubes. And the deities were fine. They were protected in their trip to Petersburg. And then, of course, Govinda Maharaj supervised the installation there. And you know, none of us really knew what to do. Govinda Maharaj knew what to do. And so then he made a list. You know, these are the things that should be offered at the installation ceremony. There should be some gold, some silver, some this, some that. You know, there's like 10 items. And we're all looking at each other like, where are we going to get all those things, you know? And then, you know, one by one, Yudhamanyu says, oh, I have some gold. He had like a cougaran that he like traveled with as like his, you know, emergency money, you know. that he had. I had some gold, so the cougar ran became the gold. Somebody else had something else. And then, you know, like that, different items for the installation. And then cow urine. And we're all thinking, cow urine. How are we going to get cow urine? You know, in India, you can get cow urine, but, you know, somebody's going to, like, chase a cow in the field to try to collect the urine. So so then Tirtha Maharaj, you know, raises his hand very humbly and says, I have some cow urine. And we're looking at him like, Maharaj, you have cow urine? He knew it was necessary. He knew that this would be the installation ceremony, that this was one of the ingredients, that we would never be able to find it. So he brought cow urine there. And this is you know, I think, like, this is the mentality of a Brahmin, you know. He's thinking like that, you know. We don't know anything. We don't know what to do. We're all, like, just surprised, you know, at the list. But he knows, and he's thinking, like, what's probably the hardest thing for us to find. And so in that way, all the paraphernalia was collected, and then the deity installation took place. And a very, very wonderful ceremony, supervised by Avadhut Maharaj and Vijay Raman Prabhu. What is what? My inspiration what?
Impressions of the latest parikrama.
Impressions of the latest parikrama? Well, you know, to me, I have a mundane mind. And so, you know, I don't see anything spiritual, but I know that's there, and I know some benefit is coming to me. And I'm just, like, happy to be with the devotees. And you know, walking down the streets of Vrindavan or Govardhan with a big group of devotees on Sankirtan, chanting the holy name, you're in the holy dham. It's like, you know, a wonderful thing. You know, you could just go for a walk anywhere. That'd be one thing. But you're going for a walk with all the devotees, chanting the holy name in the holy dham. And it's just, and then you're hearing the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, the stories, and it's just, it's a very wonderful thing to do. So, but, you know, on the spiritual level, we know something very profound is there, and others have some deep realization. And when I'm just hoping that something rubs off on me. I don't. But it's an important thing in our spiritual life to do parikrama to the holy places in the association of devotees with a senior Vaishnava. And so we do that. We do that activity. Do we finish here? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody else have anything they want to say? This is part of my parikrama too, coming to Chiang Mai, be with the devotees, and Giriraj, Govardhan.